Today's shiur is dedicated by Dr. Yosef and Mrs. Yael Gurevich in honor of their grandparents, Mr. and Mrs. Moshe Rubin. Today's shiur is for Schus for Refuah Shleima, for Shalom and Bracha. Today's shiur is Masechta Ksubos Daf Samach Zayin, and we will begin Daf Samaches, and we will begin on Daf Samach Zayin on the base, three lines from the bottom. Begins the Gemara. Rav Chanina Hava Hu Anya Davrogel Shtur Le Abazuze Komal Shapsa. There was a poor individual to whom Rav Chanina would send four zuz every Erev Shabbos. Yom Chad, one time, Shadrinan Al Hay Biyad Vise, he asked his wife to deliver this money. Asi, and she came home, Vamrele Le Tzorach. He doesn't really need this donation. So Rav Chanina asked her, "My Chazus, what did you see in his home that makes you say that?" Says so. His wife responded, "Shamadav Karmelay, I heard that they were discussing at home b'ma atasoyed. What will be today? What will we eat on the Shabbos meal? B'kli chesav, b'kli zav, with either silver or gold." Tablecloths, and obviously that they don't need our donations if they're using such expensive tablecloths. Ask Taisvis that in our previous year we learned that if there's a poor person that has greater needs, we have to give him even more. And in our shiur today, we're learning, well, if there's a poor person that's living an extravagant lifestyle, we don't have to give him more. So Tosfos answers that in the previous shiur, we were talking about expensive wine that they were using to sprinkle in the house. And that's something that the person themselves actually use. And that's since that's something that the person themselves actually use. Of course, it does represent somewhat an extravagant lifestyle, but it's something that the person uses. Here, using these kind of very expensive tablecloths is not acceptable. There's no reason to use them, and no one has to support that type of a lifestyle. The Meiri differentiates, and we spoke about this in our previous year as well. The Meiri differentiates between somebody who was brought up with an extravagant lifestyle, and that's the lifestyle that they became accustomed to, where the halacha says that we have to support that lifestyle. We have to understand that that's what he's accustomed to, and the halacha tells us to continue supporting it, versus somebody who wasn't brought up with that lifestyle. Says the Meiri, they knew that the person in our Gemara is such an individual who didn't grow up with this lifestyle, and they accustomed themselves to this lifestyle, and now the issue is that we don't have to support that lifestyle. Amar Reb, so now Rav Chanina said, after seeing what happened here, he said, we actually have to appreciate the people who are dishonest. Shamalehain, if we didn't have these dishonest people, we would be doing averus on a regular basis. Shinema, the pasuk says, if you look not favorably at your brother who's a poor person, and you won't give him the tzedakah that he deserves, and he'll cry to Hashem. But now by us having a legitimate excuse why we don't give the tzedakah, because the person that we're giving tzedakah is dishonest, we have a way of avoiding the aveira. So Rashi says that if we don't give tzedakah, we have a legitimate excuse why we don't, because maybe the person that's asking for tzedakah is dishonest. The Meiri explains that doesn't give you a right not to give tzedakah. As we're going to learn in a moment, the Gemara says, "Kol amalam ayin mitzar menat tzedakah." Somebody who doesn't give tzedakah is kilu chaita. And in fact, the Mashal says that this excuse that the Gemara is suggesting, that a person could say that I'm not giving tzedakah, is because the person who's asking for tzedakah may be dishonest, says the Mashal, is only in a situation where we don't know the person who is coming to collect tzedakah, or we have reason to be concerned that this person is dishonest. But if we know that the person who's asking for tzedakah is an honest individual, we have no right to avoid giving tzedakah. And the Divrei Shaul, Rabbi Yosef Shaul Natanzon, explains that the reason we give tzedakah, the reason we're supposed to give tzedakah, is not just out of rachmanis, that we feel bad for this person who's collecting tzedakah that doesn't have what to live from. The reason a person's supposed to give tzedakah is because Hashem told us to give tzedakah. And explains the Divrei Shaul, if we see a person that really is suffering, that person is, and we're giving tzedakah to that person because we have rachmanis in him, is not because we want to fulfill the mitzvah. And that chait, that a person doesn't have rachmanis when he's supposed to have rachmanis, that the people who are dishonest save us, because maybe they're just putting on a show. But a person who wants to fulfill the mitzvah, that person, you have to give tzedakah to anybody. So, of course, the Mefarshim ask, the fact that there are dishonest people in the world, how does that help us? We have to give tzedakah. And if we don't give tzedakah to somebody who deserves it, we're doing aveiros. Says the Inyan Yaakov. The Pasuk says, we just read in the Pasuk, that v'kara alecha el Hashem, that the person who comes to collect tzedakah from you, and you don't give him the tzedakah, he's going to cry out to Hashem, and you will have an aveira. But it explains the Inyan Yaakov. People now, if somebody comes to collect tzedakah, and he doesn't receive tzedakah from the person whom he's collecting from, he won't call out to Hashem, because he knows that the reason the person who didn't give him tzedakah didn't give him tzedakah is because he was concerned that maybe I'm dishonest. So what happens is, because of the Ramon, explains the Inyan Yaakov, people don't cry out to Hashem. Says the Rif, that if that's the reason, that why is there ever going to be V'hoi Balchait? If a person always has an excuse that I didn't give tzedakah because I was concerned that the person who was collecting with tzedakah was dishonest, so why, even if he calls out to Hashem, where would I be doing an aveira? So he explains that indeed, the only time it's considered v'hayu b'chachet, that you did an aveira, that if somebody asks you for tzedakah and you refuse to give him tzedakah, is only in a situation where you knew that the person who's asking for tzedakah really deserves the tzedakah. But, and then, if you still chose not to give tzedakah, then v'hayu b'chachet, it's considered as if you did an aveira. But if you didn't know, even if he cries out to Hashem, it will not be considered an aveira. I saw that the Kedushas Tzion explains that a person, the Pasuk says in Daniel, v'chatoecha b'tzedakah p'roik. A person, if he did Rachman Tzlan and Aveira, how will he have a kapara on his Aveira? By giving tzedakah. But, explains the Kedushas Tzion, now that we've learned in our Gemara that there are people who come to collect tzedakah and they're not really deserving of the tzedakah that they're collecting for, so then we don't have. So then we think that we did an aveira, and we now are fine because we gave tzedakah, but we're really not in a good place. And the reason we're not in a good place is because we didn't give tzedakah to a person who's really deserving of tzedakah. Explains the Kedushat Tzion that that's what we say. We owe the Ramon a thank you, because if not for the Ramon, people will give tzedakah, will say, I'll do the aveira, and the way I'll save myself from any problem is by giving tzedakah. But now that we've established that you may be giving tzedakah to a Ramon that don't deserve the tzedakah, so you can't rely on that tzedakah. So we have no other option but to give tzedakah to not do any averis. I saw that Rav Shimon Shkop once gave tzedakah to an individual who everybody knew was not deserving of tzedakah. Why? So the question is, so his Talmidim asked him, if you know that this individual is not deserving of tzedakah, why do you give him tzedakah? So he explained, the Gemara just said, Ba v'nachzik toiva, we owe them a thank you. Because if not for what they do, we would have a real issue, because maybe we're not giving tzedakah as we should be giving tzedakah. So if this person is a person that I owe a thank you to, then I certainly should give him some money if he's asking for money. I saw from the Sefer Shomer Amunim that what happens, he says, that let's say somebody gives tzedakah, and his intention in giving the tzedakah was most honorable. But the person who took the tzedakah from him wasn't deserving. But my kavana, my intention in giving the tzedakah was correct. So the Sefer Shomer Amunim says that if somebody gives tzedakah with the proper intention, even though he ended up giving tzedakah to a person who really didn't deserve it, since I meant to do the right thing, then I get the schar, even though it wasn't a person who really was deserving of it. Says the Gemara, V'tani Rav Chaya by Rav Midifti, Rav Shul ben Karcha Omer, Kol Malam Einav Mitztaka, somebody who ignores giving tzedakah to when he's supposed to give tzedakah, Kil Oivar Av Tzachavim, it's as if he's worshipping Avodah Zarah. Ksiv Hacha, the Pasuk says regarding tzedakah, Hisham Lcha Pen Yedava Im Milvavcha Bili Al, Evyon, the Pasuk that we read a moment ago, V'lesitin Lev Karl Lech Al Hashem V'hoi B'cha Chait, V'ksiv Hasam, Yotza Anoshim B'nei B'al Mibi Kerbecha, V'yedichu Es Yoshe, Irem Leila Nechu V'navda Lehem Acher Mishlo Yidatim, the Pasuk of people who worship Avodah Zarah. Says the Gemara Ma'ala Halim B'Avodah Kachavim, just that Pasuk is referring to Avodah Zarah. Afkan, this Pasuk is talking about Avodah Zarah. And the Sefer Yirmiyahu Yaakov explains what is the connection between Avodah Zarah and tzedakah. Says the Yirmiyahu Yaakov, the Gemara Masechet Kedushin teaches us that when it comes to Avodah Zarah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mitzarif machshava l'maisa. So if somebody has a machshava, somebody has a thought to worship Avodah Zarah, it's considered as if he worshipped Avodah Zarah. And of course, if Chas V'Shalom, he actually worships Avodah Zarah, so he actually worshipped Avodah Zarah. So if somebody wants to do tshuva on the Aveira that he had a Machshava Avodah Zarah, his tshuva Osta has to be with something that's connected to his thought. And the Pasuk regarding people who give tzedakah, an individual who gives tzedakah is called a Nediv Lev. So says the Yirmiyahu Yaakov, just the best antidote against somebody who has a machshava avodah zara, then is a person who gives tzedakah and will be considered a nediv lev. Rabbi Chanan has a different approach. Rabbi Chanan's approach is that why is it that there are people that don't give tzedakah? So explains Rabbi Chanan, because these are individuals who believe koychi v'oitzim yodi asli sechayel azeh. The reason I'm successful, these people believe, is because it's not because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's because of my talent, it's because of my intelligence, which is actually, he says, a form of Avodah Zarah. And that's why a person who refuses to give Avodah Zarah is showing that he is like a person who worships Avodah Zarah, and that's what the Gemara connects. I saw that the Sefer Sheres Menachem explains, the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Lom Hashem Tamid Barochik Talim L'itis B'tzara. We're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why when we need your help, are you not there? And the answer is, Lom Hashem Talim Barochik, why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu not help us when we need help? Because Talam l'itos b'tzara. When there are people that we see that need help, we don't help them. And what the Pasuk is teaching us, and he says that's what the Gemara is teaching us, that kol ha'malam einam men ha'tzdaka kilay v'avodah zarah. Just like if chas v'sholem, somebody is doesn't give tzedakah, just like somebody doesn't give tzedakah is like an avodah zarah. So somebody who rachman tzlan is an avodah zarah cannot expect Hashem to help him when he needs help. And therefore, the fact that this person does ask, the person does want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to answer his tefillahs, he should give tzedakah. That is the way we will have our tefillahs answered. I saw that Rav Shaul Brach, in his Sefer Give a Shaul, explains the Gemara back to what we discussed in the previous year. In the previous year, we learned, Dei Machsara Sheyachsaloi, Afilu Sus Lirchavilov. That when we give somebody tzedakah, we have to determine what are the needs of that individual. And the Gemara said, if this is a person that needs a horse to ride on, he needs an eved to ride Slofanov, then we have to give him whatever he needs. So, call a malam enim in a tzedakah. Yes, somebody comes to collect tzedakah from us, but we don't pay attention. What does this person really need? Then he's a malam ayin. He's not really paying attention. What does this person need? And it's not considered as if he did the tzedakah properly. The Sefer Yismach Moshe explains that the Noam Elamelech explains that the reason every person was created with two eyes, one is to see, one eye was created to see the greatness of Hashem, and the other eye was considered a person that see how insignificant we are. And the Mishnah Masechet Chagiga, that Beis Amin Aleph teaches us, Suma Ba'achas Me'enov, somebody who has blind in one eye, Patam and Ariya. If somebody doesn't have the ability to see that who he really is, then he can't stand in front of Kadosh Baruch Hu. And that's pshat what it says by Kairach, Eino Hitayasai. He only had one eye. He didn't have both eyes. And the lesson, as we're learning here, what both eyes are supposed to teach us. And that's what he says is pshat in our Gemara. Hamalav Eino Minatztaka. He doesn't look with his eyes. As Noam Elimelech just taught us, what are we supposed to see? What are we supposed to see with our eyes? And this individual is Malav Eino Minatztaka. He doesn't use his eyes to see with them what a person is supposed to see when he gives tzedakah. Such a person, if he doesn't live and he doesn't use his eyes, as the Noam Elimelech just taught us, how he's supposed to use his eyes, such an individual is ki'ilu oivet avodah zarah. Tana Abonim, continues the Gemara, Hamasanei is Einai, somebody who gives the impression as if he's blind, or Mitzavis Batnai, who gives the impression as if he's malnutritioned, or Mekakeh Shoykai, or he's somebody who gives the impression as if he can't walk, Einai Niftim and Oilam, doesn't leave this world, Atchiyavir Dekach. This will ultimately have to happen to him before he leaves the world. And continues the Gemara, Makabel, Stock of Enetzarch Lakach. Similarly, somebody who takes Stocker, it doesn't really need the Stocker, says the Gemara, Sofish Enet Niftim in Olam, won't leave the world at Shiova Dekach. He won't leave the world until he will be punished that what he did will happen to him. Says the Gemara, Tanan Hosom. We learned in the Mishnah Masechta Peah that somebody who has Musayim Zuz is not entitled to take Lekas Shichur and Peah. But if somebody doesn't have Musayim Zuz, but if he'll sell his property, he will have Musayim Zuz. The Loch is Eim Chaim Nesai Limch Seres Beis of his Klei Tashmishai. He's not obligated to sell off his assets to obtain the Musayim Zuz. Asking Mavaloi, is that true? Asking Mara, it says in Braisa, if somebody was used to using gold kalim, and since he was used to using gold kalim, that's what, and now he needs, and therefore he doesn't have enough, and now he wants to go collect tzedakah, he should do is sell off the gold kalim, use silver. or he was used to silver, yishtamish b'klei nechashis. So we see that the halacha is that one should sell off his assets. How do we reconcile this? Answers the Gemara, Amar Zud l'kasha. Ha b'mitav shulchan. If a person, when it comes to a table, chair, it doesn't make a difference if it's silver or gold. So there you should sell off your assets to be able to not to have to take tzedakah. Ha b'kaisav z'karis. A person is used to using silver or gold, cannot be expected to have to sell that off to avoid taking tzedakah. Ask the Gemara, Maishna kaisav z'karis d'loy. Why don't we force the person to sell his cups and plates? Says the Gemara, to me, anything besides silver or gold, flatware, silverware, is something that I can't use. So ask the Gemara, if that's the case of this individual, map of a shulchan nami, omelam kabel, meet of a shulchan nami. This person could say, I'm used to always sitting on an expensive couch and sitting by expensive table. Answers the Gemara, the kalim that we're forcing him to sell is Amarava but Machrisha de Kaspa. Machrisha de Kaspa means that they used to use a keli to rub themselves, a back scratcher in the merchatz. There's no one that could say that they need a silver back scratcher. The Arishayim that say Machrisha de Kaspa means the plow. And again, no one could suggest that they have to have a silver plow. Rapapa gives a different answer. Rapapa maloy kasha. Kan kain shevel de giboy, kan lachash de giboy. If a person doesn't have the funds for tzedakah and doesn't have enough assets to collect tzedakah, and he doesn't have to sell off, Rapapa says, any of his assets. But if a person, says Rapapa, took tzedakah in a way that he wasn't allowed to take tzedakah, and therefore he has to pay back what he took illegally, such a person has to sell off, says the Mishnah in the Braisa, everything that he has in order to pay off tzedakah, that he pay back to the tzedakah something that he shouldn't have taken. Says the Mishnah, Yisamashi Yisya Avia Ima Achel Midata. A Yisamah that was married off. We know, we often discuss this, that midaraisa, only a father has a right to marry off his daughter, but when she's a ketana. But if, Rachman Tzlan, the father died, so her mother or brothers married off, the kasala meya chamishim zuz, and they obligated themselves to give meya zuz, a chamishim zuz, the halach is shichayli mishitagdol, when she becomes an adult, she could say, she could go and say that I deserved more. That's going to be the primary subject of the Shia now, that she said I deserved more and you didn't give me what I was deserving. And as Rashi explains, that we're going to learn in the Gemara that typically she deserves 10% of her father's assets. And if she didn't get those 10%, she could complain that I didn't get what I was supposed, I didn't get what I was deserving. Rabbi Yehuda Eimer, Emesia es Bas Rishayna. Rabbi Yehuda is trying to determine how do we know what is the amount that should be given to a girl whose father is unfortunately not alive. So says Rabbi Yehuda, Emesia es Bas Rishayna, if a father married off a daughter, Yenosin Lashnia, and now he's not here, so how do we determine what he would have given? Says the Gemara, Yenosin Lashnia Kedarach Shnosin Rishayna. We should give the second daughter the amount. We should give the second daughter the amount that that was supposed to be given that he gave to the first daughter. Chum Amrim, Chum say that's not a proper approach. Pam Adam Ani. Sometimes a person is poor, Vehesher, and he gets wealthy. Or vice versa, Asher Veheni, he was wealthy and he got poor. Ella Shamras Nechasim, we devaluate how much are the assets of the father worth. V'noisen Loi, and we determine how much would a person who has this kind of this amount of money give to his child. That's the amount that we give. Amishmul, so Shmuel says that when we're speaking about how much we give the daughter Slipanosa when it comes to marrying her off, and how much the dunya will be written into the ksuba shaman ba'av, how much the father would have given if he were alive. And explains Rabbeinu Chananel that that's only to give less than isun nechasim. If we're talking about giving less than 10%, so says Rabbeinu Chananel, the Gemara says that if we see that this is the type of a father that would have given less than 10%, then we give less than 10%. But we never give more than 10%. That's how Rabbeinu Chananel learns this Gemara. Rashi disagrees. And Rashi says that it doesn't make a difference. Well, what this determination that we're speaking about in our Gemara is to determine what this father would have given his daughter. And it's not locked into any number. We just have to see what would have this father done. Meisve asked the Gemara, we learned in the Braisa, Habonois, that daughters who are left over as Yisoymus, Nezoynus or Mesparnesois, Menichse Avim, are supported from their father's estate. Ketzad. Says the Braisa, what does that mean? Ein Omrim, we don't say, if he was alive, this is what he would have given. El Shom Nechasim, we evaluate what is the value of the state. V'Noisin-Law, and based on that, we give a Nedunya. My love, isn't this mean Panosus Abal? So here we see that we make our own evaluation, not the evaluation of looking at what the father would have given, but we make the evaluation, what is the amount that a person who has this kind of money would give as an adunya? Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman Yitzaloi. Here we're talking about the panosis atzmai. We're not talking about what it takes to get married. The amount that we give for an adunya, we use our understanding what the father would have given. What we're discussing in our Gemara, he explains, is that the girls get supported until they're married. Now, how much money is spent on that support? Says the Gemara, that we look at how much people who have this kind of money spend. Ha, nezoinus mesparnes ketani. But ask the Gemara, the Braisa used the word nezoinus and mesparnes. My love, when the Braisa used these two words, doesn't it mean that panosa means panosas abal, the amount that's spent for the wedding, and the zainus refers to panosas atzmai, how much we support her. So how can we say that we're only speaking about support? Says the Gemara, loy. Idvi idvi panosas atzmai. The Bryce is only referring to what she receives for her day-to-day support. Loy kasha. Ha bachil v'shtiya. There's an evaluation what we should give her for food, for drink, and then there's another evaluation, what she needs for clothing. But the evaluation we're speaking about here has nothing to do with evaluating what she's going to receive as a kala. Ask the Gemara, Tanan. We learned in our Mishnah, Chama Imrim, Pam Sha'adam Ani Veheshir. Sometimes a person didn't have money and then he got wealthy, or vice versa, Asher Veheni, he was wealthy and he lost his money. So how can we make an evaluation? Shaman, and that's what Acham said, Shaman the Chosim, we evaluate the father's assets. For Nois and Loi, we give according to what such a person would give, a person of this type of means would give as in the dunya. Ask the Gemara, my ani, my osher. What is meant when the Mishnah spoke about ani v'osher? Inami ani means ani v'nechasim, a person who's poor, and osher means that he's osher v'nechasim, that he's wealthy. According to this, points out the Gemara, mechlal, the Tanakhama, it's obvious that what is the opinion of Tanakhama? Shafil osher v'hani, that even if it's a person that was wealthy, he was financially wealthy, but unfortunately, he lost his money. Does he mean to say that we'll give according to what his original status was? How can we suggest that? For Leslie, he doesn't have now that kind of money. El Lav, we're speaking not about financial status. Oni Badas, that you have Oni, the person's Oni Badas is a person who is not generous, and he even though he may be wealthy, but he's an oni badas, he's stingy. And osher means Vashavadas, that he's a generous person. Viktani, shamnas and nechasim, and that is what we use as a basis to make an evaluation. Vinaisan law, to what we should give her. Alma, so we see that is the opinion of the Tanna Kamma that we follow that type of determination. But the Chama hold, loyaz lin basa umdana, we don't make these type of decisions. But to Yofta the Shmuel, that Shmuel said, we look at what we thought the father would want to do. Answer, so how does Shmuel say this? Answer the Gemara, Shmuel is following the opinion of Yehuda, the Tanya of Yehuda Omer, we learned in our Mishnah, that Yehuda taught us, in Messiah Basa Rishayna, if this father has already married off a daughter, Yenos and Lishnia, we use that as a determination, what we should give, Kederach Shenos and Rishayna, we give to the second daughter as he gave to the first daughter. So that's the basis for Shmuel's opinion. So ask the Gemara, if that's the basis for Shmuel's opinion, so ask the Gemara, v'nei ma'aloch k'r Yehuda. So he should say that he is following the opinion of Yehuda. Inami, answers the Gemara, I am ma'aloch k'r Yehuda, if that's what he would have said, have a mina dafka hisia, only in a situation where the father married off a daughter. The goli date, so we have a clear precedent how to determine what he would do. Avallah hisia, if the father never married off a daughter, loy, we shouldn't make these type of determinations. Kamash Malon, that teaches us Shmuel, that what is the basis for Rabbi Yehuda's opinion? Tamar Rabbi Yehuda does lina basa umdana. Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is based because he follows what we assume is what the father wanted to do. Loishna siya v'loishna siya, and makes no difference whether he has or has not previously married off a daughter. So if that's the case, that we're just using our thought process to determine what the father would have done. So Vahadatari, why did the Mishnah say Hasiya? Why did the Mishnah have to speak about a case where the father married off a daughter? The way we're learning now, even if the father had never married off a daughter, we make a determination what the father would have done. Teaches us the Gemara. The reason the Mishnah spoke about such an example is like the Acher Koichad Rabbanon. He wants to help us understand the strength of the opinion of the Rabbanon. Dafagav the Seer. This father, we have an experience that he already married off a daughter. The Goli Daitis. So we know how he wants to act at a wedding. Still tells the Rabbanon, the father's not here. We don't determine based on that what he would have done. Amalei, Raveler of Chizda, Darshina Meshimcha, we heard that you said that the Allah is Krib Yehuda, that we follow the opinion of Yehuda. Amalei, so Chizda said to Rav Yehei Rava, it should be Hashem's will that Kol Kihani Ma'al Yisa, such wonderful halacha, always Tidrushu Meshmoy should be said in my name. Ask the Gemara, Omi Amar Rav Hachi, did Rav actually say that Allah is like Rabbi Yehuda? V'tanya, the Braisa says, Rabbi Amabas Hanazoinus Menachem. There was a father who passed away, left over a daughter who's not a Begeris, and she's being supported by the estate, by the brothers, the Yorshim. The Allah is, Netelus Issa Nechasim. When it comes to marrying her off, she gets 10% of the father's assets. And as the Rishonim explained, Chazal assumed that that is the amount that a father will spend on a wedding. Vama Rava, and Rava said, Harloch Karebi. So we see that Rava says that we don't make a determination what would have this father spent on a wedding. We give straight, Issa Nechasim, answers the Gemara Lakasha. Hada Imbani, if we know the father and we knew what he would want to give, so then we give according to that determination. But if we didn't know the father, Hadalayim Danei, that's when he could have said, that's when we say that we give 10%, because we have no other way of determining what to do. The Tosfos Rit asks, what's going to be the halacha if the father left a son and a daughter? And if we use the method that Rabbi Yehuda is teaching us, that we make a determination, then all the money that the father had left over will be used to marry off the daughter, and the son will not have anything for the Yerusha. Says the Tosfos Harid that he doesn't believe that what the Gemara is suggesting here should be followed if the price of following that will mean that there won't be any Hilchus Yerusha. But he quotes his Rebbe, who says that even in a case where there won't be any Yerusha, then the halacha is still, according to Rabbi Yehuda, we always follow the determination what we think the father would have given. And says the Gemara that this explanation that we just gave, that there's a difference if we can make the determination what the father would have done or not, is a correct distinction. Domer of Adabar have a massive nusin like Rebbe. There was a situation where Rebbe gave a girl on the dunya, echad mishneim asab benachasim, a 12th. But ask the Gemara, kasha adadi. We learned before that he says he gives him a 10th. So why was it acceptable to just give a 12th? Says the Gemara, elav shmamina, hada midnei. When we know what the father would have done, that's what we should do. Hada loya midnei. When we don't know what the father would have done, then we have the 10% rule, shmamina. Gufa amar Rebbe, bas hanazonis min ha'achim, a daughter that's being supported by the Yarshim, they tell us, esim nechasim, takes 10% for getting married. Amar leila Rebbe, so chom said to Rebbe, lidvarecha, according to your opinion, mi sheesh loy esabonis, if somebody has 10 daughters and one son, en leila banim, each one of these 10 daughters is going to take 10%, and the son will be left with nothing. Amalem, so Rebbe responded, this is the way to understand my opinion. The first one takes 10% of the father's assets. Shnia takes 10%, not of the total number, what's left over. And that's what the third one does in the Shaira, and that's how we don't end up using all of the assets. Then, whatever that 10 times 10% equals, Chayzus v'chalks b'shava, the 10 daughters divide amongst themselves. Kol Chada asked the Gemara, so why do you say that the first one takes 10%, and then we put it back in the pot? Everyone should take what's left. In other words, the way the Rishonim explained the Gemara's question is that why should the first daughter is entitled to 10%? So she should take the 10% that she's entitled to. That will make that the later sisters will get less, so be it. Says the Gemara that Hachikamer, the case that was explained that we divide all of the money equally is only in Baal Kulam Leinasa Ba'achas. If all 10 sisters are getting married at the same time, that's when Chalks B'Shava. But indeed, if one sister is getting married and then another, and she takes 10%, and then the second sister takes 10% of what's left, even though that number is a lesser number than what the first sister get. Says the Gemara Masailel Rav Masna, this supports what Rav Masna taught us. Dabam Rav Masna, im boli nosu kulam kachas, if they're all getting married at the same time, noitlus isa echad. Ask the Gemara isa achas akal datach. Isa achas means that they all together just share in 10% of the father's estate. Says the Gemara, what was meant to say was, el noitlus isa echad, they all take the same amount. But if they're not getting married all at the same time, the first one gets 10%, and the next one gets 10% of what's left, and so on. Tana Rabbanan teaches us the Braisa. Habonis, girls who are Yusoimis, who, as we've been learning, get Panosa and Mizoinis from the father's estate, Bain Bogru actually Nasu, whether they became a Bogris, 12 and a half years old, before the Nasun, or Bain Nisu actually Bogru, or whether the Nasun was before they became Baris, if the Mizoinis say him, they are no longer entitled to being supported. Because at this point, once a girl's a Begeris or a Nesua, she's no longer entitled to be supported. However, even though that's the halacha regarding day-to-day support, loy ivdu penasosun, the amount that the state has to spend to marry them off doesn't change. Divrei Rebbe. Shimon Elozheimer, af ivdu penasosun. If a girl is a Begeris, she's no longer entitled to for that money. So if that's the case, what does she do to avoid losing the money that she should be getting for getting married? Kate said, Oysters, what should they do? So he says, Rav Shimon Meloza says, Soichus Lambalim, find a husband in order that they should have, even if it's a fictitious marriage, in order she should get this panosa. Omar Rav Nachman, Omar Lihuna, Halacha Karebi. The halacha is like Rebbe, that once, even though the girl becomes a begeris, they don't lose the panosa. Eisvei Rav Nachman, it says in our Mishnah, Yisai Meshisiyasa, Yisrael was married off the cost of a chameh b'chamishim zuz, and they wrote a very small amount for the dunya, 150 zuz. Yochlim shetag the lights miyadam asheroy l'natzulay. When she becomes a gedola, she could come back and claim I was not given what I deserved. Tama, what do we see from here? That the reason she has a right to make this claim is because all her nesu'in happened while she was a ketana. And the mechila, the fact that she said, I'm okay with it, doesn't have halachic meaning. Her gedoyla, but if she was a gedoyla by the nesu'in, we'd say vitra. And this is a question that on Rav Nachman, who said like Rebbe, that even if a girl is a begeris, she doesn't relinquish her Nidunya, answers the Gemara, Loikashi. When Rebbe said a begeris doesn't lose what she's entitled to, is mechoy, at least she protested. Ha, that the Mishnah seems to say that if she loses it, is when she did, is because loy mechoy, because she didn't say anything. It says the Marhochinami Mistabra, that to say that the Bryce that we began with, where we have the Machloikis of Rebbe and of Shimon ben Lozer, is referring to a situation where she protested. Dim came that if we're going to say that the Braisa is referring to a situation where she didn't even protest, says the Gemara, Tasha the Rebbe, we would have a contradiction in the opinion of Rebbe. The Tanya, the Braisa says, Rebbe Oimer, Bas HaNazonis Menachem, a daughter who's being supported, Noitelus Issa Nechosim, is entitled 10% for her Nedunya. And the Gemara makes the point, Nedunya, in the Zionist, does this 10% rule only apply if she's supported? Ain't in the Zionist, but if she's a begeris, loy, then she doesn't get the 10% rule? But that's not true. We just learned that he says that the girl, even if she's a begeris, and even though she's no longer being supported day to day by the state, still gets the 10%. Elav, how do we reconcile? Hada mechoy, if she makes a protest, and she says she's not forgiving the amount that she deserves for Parnasa. So even though now she's already begeris, she gets it. If she didn't make that protest, then and she accepted what she got, now it's too late to protest after she's a begeris. Shmamina. Amalei Ravina Larova. Amalei Rav Adabar Hava Mishmach. Bagra Enet Tzricha Limchais. That a girl who became begeris doesn't have to protest to still get the 10% that she's entitled to. Nisus, if a girl became a nesua as a nara, and she did not get 10%, ain't tzricha limchais. She also doesn't have to protest. She's entitled to it. Bagra v'nisus, but if you have a girl that she's both a begeris and a nesua, if she wants to make sure that she's going to get her 10%, she has to tzricha limchais. She has to protest. And if she doesn't protest, it's a proof that she forgave it. Ask the Gemara, Umi Amar Rava Hachi, is this indeed the opinion of Rava, that if we have a girl who is a Nara, she doesn't have to protest? V'esei Rava L'Rav Nachman, didn't we just learn the question that was asked about the Yisoyim V'shanalei, Hadamachi, Hadalaimachi? So we see that he holds, you do, that the Nara has to protest before the Nesu'in, in order to get a 10%. For if she will not protest, she won't get it. Answers the Gemara Loikasha. Rava that says that if she didn't protest, she still will get a 10%. The Kam Mitzvah Minayu. She's still being supported. And since she's still being supported by her brothers, we could explain that the reason she didn't protest is because she felt uncomfortable protesting on her brothers who are supporting her. If she's not being supported, then she will not continue getting. Amar Rafun Amar Rebbe, Panosa Enikatanai Ksuba. The amount, this din of Panosa that a girl gets is not treated like all the other Tanai Ksuba. Ask the Gemara, what does that mean? My Enikatanai Ksuba. Enu il neimer dila panosa tarfim mishabdi, that the nedunya could be taken away from even from assets that the father sold after that the brother sold after the death of the father. That if the father had sold assets, we wouldn't be able to take that away for the panosa. But if the brother sold assets, the girl could claim her panosa from those assets. Versus tanai ksuba, the amount that she supported, loy tafi mishabdi, she cannot collect from assets that the brother sold off. Ask the Gemara, my kamashmalon, what is Rav Huna teaching us with this halacha? Her ma'isim b'chol yoyim, is we see this all the time, that bezdin moitzin lepar nasa, the bezdin go after assets that were sold from the, by the brothers to pay off the nedunya, they might see in limousines, but they don't go after those assets that were sold by the brothers for the daily support. And as the Mefarshim explained, what does the Gemara mean to say with Maisa B'chol Yoyim? The Gemara, Rav Huna seemed to be telling us a chiddush. And the Gemara's question is, what Rav Huna said doesn't really represent any chiddush, asked the Gemara. We see this all the time. Vela, says the Gemara, we'll have to explain that what Rav Huna meant to say is the panasa gav yinami metatlin, the nedunya is collected even from the metatlin that the father left over. Tanai ksuba, however, only the support, mi mekarka gavya or mi metatloi gavya. Says the Gemara, Rebbe, but we can't say that. Idi v'idi megavya. Rebbe's opinion is that Rav Huna, who was quoting Rebbe, Rebbe's opinion is that both are collected, both the panosa and the mezainis are collected from a tatlin. The Tanya, as the Braisa teaches us, Rebbe's opinion is echad nechasim sheish lemachrayis, which means karka, vechad nechasim sheein lemachrayis, which means metatlin, metzil mazan isha lebonis devei Rebbe. So that can't be what Rav Huna meant to say. As says the Gemara, what did Rav Huna mean to say? My they say penos enikadnai ksuba l'chiratanya. Hoima al yizor nu benosu ben chasov. Is somebody in Shemalev, a father, as he was passing away, said that my daughter should not be supported from my assets. We don't pay attention. But if he said al yisbar nusu benosu ben chasov, I don't want my money to be used to marry off my daughters for the nedunya Shemalev. She penos enikadnai ksuba. The obligation for the estate to continue supporting the daughters after the father passes away is a tanai ksuba. And a tanai ksuba is not negotiable. And therefore, if the father said, I don't want my assets to be used for that purpose, we don't pay attention to what he said, because the tanai ksuba obligated him. But the tanai ksuba does not obligate him to give an adunya. And therefore, if he gave clear direction that he doesn't want his money to be used for the nedunya, it's not used for the nedunya.